Yes. Okay. Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm Corina Pereira. Welcome once again to our SGR Knowledge Foundation Knowledge Series. The session of Knowledge Series is organized every month. Irrespective of the pandemic and lockdown, the sessions of Knowledge Series will continue to encourage, motivate, and enhance the energy of the audience of Knowledge Series. Knowledge Series is a point of origin for the Central India's first multilingual literature festival, Orange City Literature Festival, that is OCLF Nagpur. OCLF is now entering into the fourth edition this November 2022 after the success of past three editions of it. Knowledge Series session is now a part of Orange City Literature Festival. Today's session is the 64th session of the series and is supported by Readomania Publication. To give you an idea about our today's session, just want to know how many of us would want a real sneak peek into the workings of the Income Tax Department and the lives of taxmen? How are tax raids organized? What happens when a politician or a film star is raided? Do they threaten the taxman? In what unique ways is cash hidden? How do taxmen deal with the unpopularity of their job? What is the training that is imparted to them? To get the answer of these today, we have our speaker, Mr. Ajay Mankotia. Ajay Mankotia pursued BA in Economics from St. Stephen's College, Delhi University, followed by a master's degree in economics from the Delhi School of Economics, Delhi University. He also has a diploma in international economics relations from the University of Paris and master's degree in law, LLM, from Law Center, Delhi University. Ajay, who joined the Indian Revenue Services in 1982, has worked at a wide variety of posts in the Indian government, including Chief Vigilance Officer of some public sector fertilizer companies. He retired as a Commissioner of Income Tax with voluntary retirement in 2008 after having spent 26 years as a taxman, and joined a media company as President of Corporate Planning and Operations. He presently runs his own tax and legal advisory. With his vast areas of interest, Ajay regularly writes articles on tax, vigilance, music, films, sports, defense, and other topics of interest in newspapers and online news portals. He is married to Atima Mankotia and has a daughter and a son. We welcome Sir Ajay Mankotia, who is going to speak and discuss on life of a taxman in conversation with Ms. Reema Gupta. Our moderator, Reema Gupta, is a brand consultant and design thinking facilitator with over 32 years of experience across many categories, type of clients. She enjoys facilitating brand and business owners to reach solution based on customer and stakeholder empathy. She started her career in brand management with P&G and then moved over to management consulting with Deloitte. She headed the Delhi office of Quadra Advisory, a specialist brand consultancy, and then later was the country head of the consulting business of Kantar, known earlier as Henley Center, the futures company, and TNS Consult. She was also the strategy head solution digitals, a 360 degree communication and implementation agency. Reema has worked on several brand positioning, brand architecture, new product development, innovation projects for brands like Tata Motors, Nestle, IDC, and many more, enabling them to build a strong, sharply positioned brands. Welcome you, ma'am. I request ma'am to kindly take over the session.
Okay, thanks. So, Ajay, you got a great glowing introduction all about the academic part of it and the kind of things which you did in your career. But tell me a little bit about your childhood. Let's get to know you as a human being.
Reema, my father was in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. He was a transport pilot, and he moved from station to station every 2-3 years, and our schooling also changed. Therefore, I started my schooling in Willington, in the Nilgiris, where my father was doing a course in the Defence Services Staff College.
Mm-hmm.
Then subsequently in Calcutta and South Point School, and then Air Force Bal Bharati in Delhi and Mount St. Mary's in Delhi. Then in Chandigarh, I did my schooling in St. John's. And then finally, in 1970, my father got posted as Station Commander Guwahati.
Mm-hmm.
The family decided that my mother and the three children would stay back in Delhi, rent a house, and we'd finish our schooling from Delhi itself, which okay. we did. I was in the Air Force Central School in Delhi Cantonment from class 8th through class 11th. Those days, we didn't have any class 12.
Mm.
So I passed out of Air Force Central School. And so from the very beginning, there was this sense of public service. This my uncle, my father's younger brother, he joined the army. He retired as a lieutenant general. My brother, he joined the Indian Navy. So there was this spirit of public service that was prevalent in our house right from the start. And therefore, it was very natural for me to have gone to a government service, whether mm-hmm. armed forces or civilian services. My father, he wanted me to do the civilian bit and my brother the defense bit. So we honored his wishes, and that's how I joined the service.
Okay.
The school, did my BA honors from St. Stephen's, and then economics from Delhi School of Economics, and then took the exam. And then during the course of the service, which I cleared, of course, I had, of course, wanted the IFS and the IAS, but my rank wasn't high enough for me to get the services. And I opted for income tax, which I thought was the best service, and I still think is the best service amongst the central services. I got that. And during the course of the service, I also did LLB from the Faculty of Law, evening classes, Delhi University.
Okay.
Worked for 26 years in the tax department. Had a very, very good innings with them. Worked in various posts. Very, very challenging assignments. So every kind of life that the tax department could offer. And in 2008, decided to take VRS
mm-hmm.
and join NDTV as President Corporate Planning and Operations. I was with them for about 9 years, and then December 2017, I retired from there and I set up my own tax and legal advisory firm.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, Ajay, for instance, being a person who doesn't really, who's not in the services, for me, the word tax man is a bogeyman, somebody who sits outside and says, okay, you haven't paid your taxes and hence I'm going to come in. That's been the image in our minds. But are they really like that? I mean, what is
so,
it about?
So your image is absolutely right. It's absolutely mm-hmm. right and representative of the image that most of the countrymen have of the taxman. So let me give you two examples before I answer your question. I underwent a medical procedure many years back.
Mm.
And I was lying on the operation table and the doctor told me that he'd be giving me an anesthetic shot and that it would pinch me a little. So be prepared for it. So he plunged the needle in and then after that he said, I hope that didn't pain.
Mm.
I said, doctor, well, it did, and you also know it would have. So then he, along with his team, you know, wearing masks and this
and lights on top, and,
he then looks down at me and says that now you know how we feel when we go to the tax department. So,
I empathize with this thing.
So I completely understood where he was coming from. And then one other very interesting incident. I sing also, of course, all amateur. And I was a member of a singing group. And we used to meet every month in the members' houses, turn by turn. And there was this lady who just joined the group, and her husband was a businessman, and it was her turn to host us. So I was introduced to her, and when she heard that I was from the tax department, you know, you won't believe it. And it just happened before my eyes. She started trembling and, you know, started sweating, and she had to sit down and they had to fan her, and she took a while to get back to normal. And she, of course, became all right when she was told that I'm retired now. And then she asked me a very, very bizarre question. She said, tell me, if you were a taxman, then how can you sing? So, you're absolutely right. This is the impression which most of the people have of a taxman. A very, very serious, sober person. A shadowy figure who lurks in the background. Who catches hold of the unsuspecting taxman. Whose only job is to harass and who takes a perverse pleasure in troubling you. And let me assure you that none of this is true. He is just doing a job which is thankless, as you and I know. He's doing it to the best of his ability. He does things which are absolutely as per law. There are some aberrations, of course, here and there, which happen in all services, all departments. But by and large, he's a human being like you and me. He also has aspirations. He also has hobbies. He also has a family. He also likes to have a drink in the evening. He also likes to take his children for ice cream. He also does his crossword puzzles. He also loves to watch sport. So he is absolutely normal, and there's nothing to fear if you're paying your taxes fully and legally. There's nothing to fear at all. Absolutely not. This thing was in my mind as to how to demystify the taxman for the public, and how to bring him to center stage, because there's hardly anything known about him. People know about taxes. They don't know about the taxman, what work he does, what are the challenges he faces, what are the kind of situations that he has to confront with, how does he go about his job, what does the job entail, what is the tax department like, what do they offer him by way of personality development, by way of his training, by way of taking care of his daily needs and for his family. So those are the kind of things which are absolutely unknown in the public, and I thought I should bring it out.
No, that's the. But you know what? Still, Ajay, we're still talking about the disciplinary part of it, in the sense that there is a return which you, we file and people look at it. What are the other aspects, in the sense that, you know, there's much more about policy. There's much more about a variety of things which you do for the general good.
Absolutely. So, yes. You know, the thing is that he does not only assessment work, which is the kind of work which most of the people are aware of.
Mm.
He also does appeal work. He also does administration. He also does management. He also takes care of policy. He also, there's a running of office involved. There's a wide variety of tasks to be completed. There are so many objectives of the tax laws which he has to take care of. Now, you know, tax laws are not only meant to collect revenues. That's there, of course. That's a very, very paramount aspect. But tax laws also do other things. They, for example, promote savings. They promote investments. Mm. They promote exports. They promote R&D. They promote regional development. So, these are the various tasks that the tax laws are crafted to comply with. So that's why the laws sometimes become complex, because the objective is not a single fold; it is many folds, and that's where they become a little complicated. They become a little complex and beyond the comprehension of many people. But if you sit down with the laws and study them properly, they're not finally very, very complex. As long as you understand the objectives of the tax laws, you understand what the purposes are, you understand what they're meant for, the lofty ideals that they seek to comply with, you will then understand the context and therefore understand why the laws are the way they are.
Yeah, yeah. But tell me, Ajay, like for instance, like in your career, so there could be times when, of course, you were looking after the disciplinary part of it, and there were times when you were looking after the policy part of it, or probably it was a combination of both. But the more interesting part is always the disciplinary part of it. Were there instances when things were very different? You faced one situation and the other was totally different? Or there was something...
I've written a book on my experience in the tax department.
Okay.
It's called, There's Seven for You, Three for Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book which covers the entire gamut of my experience in the tax department.
Mm-hmm.
All the offices that I've held, all the posts that I've held, all the experience mm-hmm. I've had, which will give an idea to the reader as to the kind of work we do. And it is peppered with anecdotes, with incidents, which seek to highlight the work we do, the challenging work we do at many times. And it's in a very racy, irreverent, tongue-in-cheek style.
But I've
mostly.
Seen it and I've read through
but,
it.
But, the idea is to counterbalance the serious, sober work that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I'd urge our audience to buy the book from Amazon, read it. It'll give you an idea as to what the taxman is all about. It demystifies him and the impressions, the perceptions that people carry of the taxman will, I'm sure, get purged to a large extent. So this book is divided into four parts. My experiences as a tax person and then articles on what I feel needs to be done by the tax department to bring about changes, to improve its working. What are the ills that plague it, and what can be done to alleviate these issues, these problems. And like I was told, like people were told in the introduction, I also served as a chief vigilance officer with the National Fertilizer Limited and some other fertilizer companies. So there's also a part on my experience in that company. It was very, very interesting also.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot and brought it back to the tax department. And of course, vice versa, whatever things I'd learned in the tax department, I took it there and so the working became much more effective. And also articles on how to improve vigilance, how to bring in preventive vigilance, how to make sure that the wrongdoings that happen in certain pockets don't happen at all.
Yeah.
So it's a book in four parts. And it has all these incidents, all these anecdotes that you are talking about. So of course, we've had our share of raids, we've had our share of issues in assessments. We've had a very interesting training sessions, both in India and abroad. And so I think the book will tell you all.
No, I'm sure, because I did go through a few pages and I thought this was one of the easiest books to read to be able to understand. But even though there is a book and it has so much of what you've been through.
So I'll give you two examples of the kind of work that we do. And so we organized this raid in the mid-80s in UP.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a raid organized from Delhi. And when we went to UP, the local office organized the manpower for us and also the police. Police is very, very important for all the raids because you have to ensure that the law and order is maintained and no harm comes to the team. So early morning, we left for this politician's house. He was running a business which is not very far from his house. This was the suburbs of this particular town. And he never ever expected us. I mean, he was a local MLA, and there's no, he could not even his wildest imagination think that the tax team would arrive within house. So of course we had this initial hiccup, and he didn't allow us in. And then when he saw the manpower and the police, then he finally relented, and then he started extending us cooperation. Now in all raids, what happens is that we are supposed to also call two witnesses, respectable witnesses from the neighborhood who witnessed the entire search, and then who also put their signatures on the on your warrant and on the panchnama, which is the inventory of things that are finally found in the house. And if you are placing a seal on any door or any almira, then they also sign there. So it's very, very important to have these witnesses who ensure that everything goes as per law. There's no harassment and there's no illegality committed. And we asked him for two witnesses, and he called those two witnesses, principal of the local school and a teacher. Nothing more respectable than that. And so the raid started, and we found stuff in various rooms, which we started collecting and inventorizing. And three hours later, we heard a massive racket from a distance. It started slowly approaching the house. Now, we were on the first floor, and the police were in the courtyard. They were on the front side of the house and the back side of the house to ensure there's no entry and exit. And gradually, the sound started approaching the house. And very soon, it was right in front of the house, about 200-300 school children with the bicycle chains, hockey sticks, and rods, shouting, income tax, Murdabad, Murdabad.
My God.
And the police were by now absolutely, you know, scared. You could make out from their demeanor, their body language, their faces that turned ashen. And most of them were not armed. They had sticks only. Very few were armed. And soon enough, they broke the door, the gate, and stormed inside the house. And then the politician turned and looked at us and then said, "Bataiye, aapke saath kya kijega?" And then we requested him to, you know, stop all this, and said, stopping a raid like this is very, very counterproductive, and it's something that's going to hurt you in the end. He says, "No question. I know this is a conspiracy hatched by my opponents in Delhi, and I will not allow this harassment to happen. And I will stop the raid. And now you tell me, what should I do with you?" Now, what happens thereafter, how the whole thing panned out, how the whole thing, turned into what finally happened.
We read it in the book.
It's something you have to read in the book. I can tell you that. But it's something that we faced, actually, and something which, you know, no amount of preparation, no amount of teaching at the academy can equip you with it. It's something which you have to deal with on the spot.
Mm.
Common sense or something else, whatever, and deal with it.
Mm.
So we how we dealt with it is to be read in the book.
Did you feel scared for your family? Did you ever face threats which were connected with your family or something like that?
See, many of us do go through that phase once in our careers, once or twice, where things get very, very ugly during either raids or during assessments. Another raid happened in Delhi where a very well-known film producer, some builder, he took out his gun before the raid started and threatened to blow their heads off. And then because a particular diary was found which had the names of certain high-profile people in it. And then he spoke with them, and they urged him caution. They urged him to restrain himself and let the raid continue. And said, "Ke raid ke baad dekh lenge." That's also a very, very typical kind of thing that happens when people approach you know, people outside देख लेंगे, बट देयर नो देखना आफ्टर दैट. वट एवर इज फाउंड, वट एवर इज अनडिक्लेयर्ड, वट एवर इज कंसील्ड इज देन डील्ड विद अकॉर्डिंगली. यू 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 टैक्स द अनटैक्स्ड इनकम एंड यू 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 लेवी पेनल्टी, यू लेवी इंटरेस्ट एंड एंड दैट्स हाउ द केसेस कम टू एन एंड वेर यू फाइनली arrive at whatever has been hidden and concealed and untaxed, tax the amount and pay your penalties and get on with your life. So this is as far as the tax is concerned. Now as far as the vigilance is concerned, again a very interesting incident which is also very very traumatic for me, and I'm sure you hear it, you'll also feel very very sad about the whole thing. You know, many of our factories have closed down because of unviability and other reasons. Now, Sindri, for example, used to be the toast of our of industrialization in the initial years of independence. Mm-hmm. All foreign dignitaries used to be taken there. The poster child of the commanding heights of economy. Sindri, of course, shut down.
Yeah.
And there are many Sindris like that in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now government is trying to revive them again. For example, the one in Gorakhpur is being revived. And similarly, other factories also are being revived with newer technology, with the gas instead of your fossil fuel, which was used earlier. And but there are many, many factories which are shut down. And therefore, the people are in a very, very bad shape. Those colonies are still there, but colonies have no electricity, they have no water. Schools are there, but there are no teachers. There are dispensaries, but no doctors, no medicines. Markets have shut down. Parks are in disuse. Swings and slides have rusted. It's a very very pathetic sight to see people eking out miserable existence in these colonies. There's a skeleton staff which looks after the upkeep or actually the cases that are filed at these places, and also maintenance and security. So there was a complaint of some theft of some copper wires in a particular plant in Bengal, and I went there to investigate. Now what happened was the investigation is complete. The local officers, about 5-10 in number, they took me out for lunch. And even, you know, for example, lunch also, they didn't have any local budget. The budget had to be approved from Delhi and for the lunch. So they took me out for lunch. Lunch over, the waiter came and asked for dessert. So I said, no, thank you very much, but you people continue. And but they said, no, ice cream is very, very good. You must taste the ice cream. So I refused. And this manager there kept insisting that I must have ice cream. So I said, you know, what's your problem? I'm not a dessert person. Why are you insisting? So he says, sir, I have, you must listen to this very carefully. It was very, very sad. He says, I have two daughters. The ice cream that I ordered, I was planning to pack it for her. And I thought you'd also order and not eat your ice cream. And I'd take that for my other daughter. They haven't had ice cream in the last 1 year. So I, of course, immediately ordered not one, but many cups, and I gave it to him. And I, but you know, what do you do? There's nothing you can do. It's a very, very sad existence they have. It's pitiable, this situation. But anyway, I hope things are now changing because these factories are again being revived. And so let's hope things are now back to normal soon.
Yeah. So you know, so while there is a policy part to it, a disciplinary part to it, a vigilance part to it, and you did talk about a softer aspect. Which are the other softer aspects of being a taxpayer?
The government also encourages a lot of literary activities, sporting activities, cultural activities in the department. They know all work and no play will make the taxman a very, very
dull person.
Person, he anyway is undesirable to most people and make him more undesirable. So how to improve his well-being, and how to make him more sensitive, how to make him more more attuned to the fine arts, to poetry, how to keep him in good health. So we have this Central Revenue Sports Board, which promotes culture and sports and literary activities in both the departments, in the tax department as well as the customs and GST department. And people participate very, very actively. And you'll be surprised to know that many eminent sports persons from the country have come from the tax department. Juhi Chawla's father was in the tax department. Narayan Rane, who was a minister now, he started in the tax department as a UDC. Your chief minister is from the tax department.
Oh yes, Kejriwal.
So, tax department has proved to be a very fertile ground of people who've done very, very well outside, whether in the sports activities or literary activities or cultural activities or political activities. We have a very active sporting and cultural activities in the department, and of course many places you have people staying in colonies, especially earmarked for the tax department, and therefore there's a lot of socializing there, there's a lot of cultural activities that take place there. You have Diwali parties, you have Diwali melas, you have we used to have the dandiyas organized, and so there's a lot of bonding amongst the officials of the tax department. So it's a one big family which tries to do work to the best of the abilities during 9 to 5 and do absolutely normal activities like you and I do after 5 o'clock.
Okay. And how did your wife fit into it? I mean, did she enjoy the culture? Did she enjoy the fact that you worked there? Or it was like, oh my God, what have I done?
You know, she comes from a family of literary people. Her grandfather was a very well-known Hindi literature person called Dr. Nagendra. And her mother and her aunt were professors for many, many decades in Delhi University. Her father was in CPWD, which is a government department, and he retired as an ADG CPWD. He was an engineer. So she's seen life in a government service. Though she stayed with her mother most of her life in the university campus, but her father's been posted to various places and just to go and visit the father during the holidays. So she knows what these services are all about and how every 3-4 years we must be ready to pack our bags and move. So she seen it all earlier also, and she accepted it when she married me and saw the income tax department. So we were in Delhi, we were in Bombay for many, many years. After Bombay, the family settled down in Delhi, and I went to Allahabad and Banaras after that. And I took retirement from Banaras only as commissioner.
Okay.
So she did two very, very interesting articles in the book, which is her perspective on
life,
very peculiar facets of the income tax department. Every department has its peculiarities and its eccentricities, and so does income tax department. So she's covered two such in the book.
That's good.
It's a very interesting thing what she's written. And
did you say anything boring which you've put in your book, which you had to put because it's a book? Was there anything which you felt, oh my God, why?
I would think not. I would think not. I think the article that I've written on what are the issues which the department needs to confront with to improve its working and to make things more transparent could sometimes be boring for some people, but actually it's not boring. It's something which people will identify with. For example, budget making. You know, budget making is so much secrecy about it. You know, so much build up to it. It starts many, many months earlier where you have meeting the stakeholders. You the secrecy involved, the how people are sequestered for many weeks before the budget is actually presented in that parliament. You must be aware of it, that how the people concerned are locked up in basements and the printing press in the bowels of the North Block, and how they have no contact whatsoever with their families, with the outside world, and how the halwa ceremony, which takes place before the exercise begins, and how people are only let out once the budget is presented in the parliament. Now, this kind of secrecy, this kind of that takes place ever since budget making started in the country is not there in other countries. Budget making is an ongoing exercise, and is ongoing participation, is an ongoing discussion with stakeholders, and there's no reason why it doesn't become a transparent exercise which involves everyone, and everyone contributes their skills, their perspective on how things should change, how things should improve, what are the priorities that the economy must have, which are the areas where the government must emphasize, and make budget therefore a participative exercise which is transparent and which it doesn't have to involve this kind of a exercise. So I've written what can be done there in that respect, and similarly in other areas, you know, what are the various things that can be done. So I think people will find it very interesting, and they'll probably identify with many of those kind of things that I've done.
What's your advice to us as people? You know, because you're talking about the tax department, but as people who file in our taxes, do a variety of things also, and look at the budget, what's your advice to us?
So, you know, my first advice, which I tell everyone, is that A, do not depend on your chartered accountant and lawyer completely. Okay. People come to grief mostly because they have absolutely no knowledge of their own affairs. Hmm. I'm not saying you get into the nitty-gritty of what's happening, but you must have a bird's eye view of what your business affairs are. How much have you earned? How much are the investments you can make? What are the legitimate areas where you can invest or, you know, channel your profits into to make your taxes not only compliant but also lessen the burden legitimately. And do not leave it entirely to the tax accountant, tax advisor to handle your matters before the tax department. I think once in a while you should go and meet the officer concerned, which of course now is something that's not going to happen. I'll come to that a little later. But I've seen people leave it entirely to their tax accountants. And then this also leads to, you know, sometimes misconception as to what's going on in the department. You may not know the entire truth. You may not know what's actually happening. And therefore, that leads to fear, and which is totally illogical. It leads to a wrong idea about what's happening there. It leads to these wrong kind of feelings about perceptions about what's the tax man all about. Is he such an evil creature? Is he such a person who's bent on harassing us and using coercive methods? So these are things which could have, if people that time had decided to make at least one trip to the tax department and see if things for themselves. So now what's happened is that it's a very, very good piece of news, and something which was long overdue, is that the interaction between the tax department and the taxpayers and their representatives has now come to an end.
Yeah.
Physical interaction. Now everything is faceless. So this interaction that will take place and also lead to certain undesirable consequences is a thing of the past. We have now started what's called the faceless assessment scheme, where you upload your returns on the system. The system will then allocate your case to anybody in the country who you will not know. So your case being uploaded in Delhi may go to Vijayawada. You will not know who the person there is. He will then seek clarifications, seek responses to the queries that he makes through what's called the faceless department, the assessment department. So there'll be no interaction directly between him and you. It'll be routed through via media, the faceless assessment office, we call it, the department we call it. They will ask you to respond to the questionnaire that has been issued. You will respond again online, you'll upload it. It'll be looked at by him. If he feels that it needs some technical look, because it's a technical matter, he will refer it to the technical branch. If he feels that some inquiry is required, he'll refer it to the inquiry branch. Everything will happen anonymously. The taxpayer will not know who the person is. And therefore, things will happen in a very transparent, rapid manner. There'll be no misuse. There'll be that certainty. You will know exactly where you stand as far as the law is concerned. If they raise any query, you know how the department is thinking, and therefore you can counteract it with the arguments in your possession, the facts that you have. And it'll be a very, very smooth, seamless, quick, transparent, harassment-free method of assessment.
Yeah.
There'll be a certainty that you'll know exactly where you stand, where the department stands. And therefore, you know, it won't take your time and get to any kind of situation which is worrisome, which takes away your peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also happening in the appeal stage. So, of course, there, if you want to explain things in a better manner to the appellate commissioner, you have been given the provision now of presenting your side of the argument in a virtual manner, not physically being there. And similarly, in the tribunal also, you have the choice of either appearing virtually or physically. Physically these days is not possible because of the pandemic, but to a large extent, things have become now totally thanks to technology, thanks to the awareness that the interface needs to be minimized to a large extent to prevent misuse, has now been implemented. And not only here, but also things like refunds now are processed immediately. They come to your bank account. You don't have to go now to the office and plead and beg with the office to release the refund and the attendant mischief that used to take place sometimes. Everything is now automated. Technology has played a large role in making things very, very easy for the tax person as well as for the taxpayer.
There, yeah.
There are no further compliances because information is exchanged with other departments, the stock exchange, the SEBI, the GST department, the banks, and many such institutions, they pass on the information to the tax department. So the tax department has a 360 degree of what you're doing, all your activities, all your transactions. And therefore, they know exactly if you have complied 100% with the tax laws. And therefore, if you've done nothing wrong, if you've complied with your tax laws, you've declared full profits, you've declared that the appropriate taxes on it, there's nothing to fear. Don't put him on a pedestal. Don't decry him. He's just doing his job, which you find very, very painful. you find thankless. But he has to do, somebody has to do it, he does it. And therefore, I think you should appreciate what he does. He's doing it for the benefit of the nation. I mean, your tax to the budget, and then it goes to fund so many activities which are meant for the poorer class, the agricultural class, the deprived, goes towards infrastructure. So all your money is being used in a very productive manner by the government. What you're doing is a very, very noble job of paying your taxes fully and correctly. And the tax man is just doing his job.
Tell me, Ajay, this was to us as people, but what about people who are joining the services? Why would you, what would be your advice to somebody who's choosing between different, in the central services, who's wanting to choose different departments?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think the tax department is the best department among central services for the following two reasons. Mm-hmm. It is a department which has a very direct, intimate, immediate connect with the public at large and with the nation. And let me explain. Like I told you, the tax laws are not only meant for collecting revenues, but also to undertake many, many other activities. Promotion of savings, investments, R&D, exports, industrialization, development, housing. So there's so many things you can do, from side of the service. All these laudable objectives that the government has laid out are possible because of the tax department, because of the revenues that you collect, and because of the various incentives that are given to the public to invest in certain areas where you get a tax rebate, and therefore those activities are then encouraged.
Yeah.
Now, for example, you get a rebate when you save. You invest in savings. You get a rebate. You get a rebate when you invest in housing by way of interest or by way of the capital that you pump in. You get rebate when you invest in certain R&D activities. You get rebate when you set up a company in a tax-free zone or a company in an undeveloped area. The reason being that once you get tax rebate, there's encouragement for people to channel their investments, their savings into that particular area, and therefore that thing gets promoted. So that's one very, very good vital aspect of the tax department, that you're doing all these things. Second is your intimate connect with the public at large. You can make, it's up to you to make tax paying painless, to make it very, very effective, to make it very, very efficient, to make sure there's no harassment, to make sure that the proper taxes are collected. You don't make any high-pitched assessments. You don't raise taxes which are not due from him and then take coercive measures to correct them. You know, like someone said, tax should be collected like the way honeybee collects nectar from a flower without destroying it. So that's the way, that's the objective of the department. Make tax paying a very, very simple exercise, a painless exercise for the taxpayer. And also make policies in a manner which promote investments in particular areas which the government of the day feels are the priority, feels should be developed. And so you're doing both things simultaneously. So I think it's a very, very good service. Also, the professionalism that they instill in you, the subjects that are taught to you when you're in the academy, accounting, law, management, administration, will stand you in good stead, not only in the department, but also when you leave the department. There's so many people who join good, well-known accounting firms, legal firms after they leave. They join Settlement Commission, for example. They join Authority for Advanced Ruling. Batchmate of mine has joined as the Secretary General of the Rajya Sabha. Our previous chairman has joined as he joined as Election Commissioner. He's now the Chief Election Commissioner. So there are, because the government sees, and so does the people out, so does the public outside, the worth of the tax person, the kind of training he does, the kind of languages, that's the kind of challenges he faces, the kind of issues that he's confronted with, which all stand in good stead during the service and after the service.
Okay.
So, because the kind of work that you handle, it's just outstanding. It's the gamut is so large, it's so huge. You handle every kind of work. In Delhi, when I was posted, I was handling a market. I was handling retail trade. Mm. In Bombay, when I went, I started handling banks, large banks, PSU banks, government companies, subsidiary of RBI, foreign companies. So just see the
whole gamut is there.
The whole gamut of work, from a retail market to the other end of the corporate spectrum. I handle the Harshad Mehta scam.
Mm.
How many people get to handle these kind of things in their careers, in other services? So scam, not only finding out what the scam entailed, but also finding out the taxability of the illegal profits, the illegal earnings, the illegal transactions that you carried out, and how to tax them. And then they have the thrill of seeing how the department, how the CBDT supported you, and how at various appeal stages you were supported in what you did. It's such a enriching experience that the people get to only see in the tax department. So even the raids, of course, are there's a big courtesy of the film department. The films that we have in the country, they have a huge fantasy
about
what happens in raids and what's found in the raids. But why only raids? Even normal assessment that you do on a daily basis, the ability to find out whether your books are correct and full, the ability to ferret out what the reality is from the books, from the documents that you have, is itself such a pleasurable and such a challenging exercise. The need to see whether the books are properly written or not, whether they conceal something, whether anything requires to be taken a further to investigate further, are the things which challenges which any investigative
mind
that you may have. So it's a very interesting department. Policy making, for example, what are the areas where people are litigating? What are the courts being saying about those issues? And therefore, can you therefore change the language a bit if that language is the issue? Or can you change the scope a bit if scope is the issue? Can you bring about some amendments to the Act to make sure that the litigation that is happening on account of maybe poor drafting or maybe certain things that were not anticipated could therefore be changed so as to bring down litigation? These are all in the realm of policy making. What should be the areas where we must focus on? Should we now promote this particular sector? What are the challenges of international taxation? A company that is not based in India is based abroad but earning profits in India. How do we tax it in a proper manner? How do we make sure that the rightful taxes that belong to India come to India? And I must say that India is playing a very, very positive, very, very proactive role in the international discussions in the area of international tax.
Okay.
India is respected very widely in international fora because of its stand, its very reasonable stand on various issues, its and the proactive role it plays in ensuring that people all come together on one page, on one platform, and make sure that all the countries get their rightful dues from the profits made by international players who work in various jurisdictions and earn huge profits in those jurisdictions. Amazon, for example, or Google, or Netflix. You know, these are the areas, these are the companies, these are the issues which are now being addressed internationally, and India is playing a very, very important role. And India is respected for the leadership that is showing in these areas. And this is one area which in the coming years will pose a lot of challenges, which will, our people are totally equipped to handle these challenges. The kind of training that they are imparted on the issues that confront international taxation, transfer pricing. We have experts in the tax department now who are exposed to the best practices abroad by way of not only training in the academy in Nagpur, but also trainings during the course of the services where they're exposed to all these best practices. And they know earlier the tax where some of them used to be a few steps ahead of the department. But now I'm very, very glad to tell that department now is anticipates all that, and department is completely in control of the situation.
Okay. Tell me, Ajay, you know, you've been through such an exciting time with the department. What made you write the book? I'm coming back to the book now.
Yeah. So again, the reason was that I wanted to demystify the taxman. I wanted to bring him to center stage, to shed the spotlight on him, to bring him out from the wings, from the shadows, and to tell people that this is who he is, this is what he does, this is what the challenges are in his career, this is what he does in his spare time, this is the job that he does, which he knows is thankless. He does it to the best of his ability. There are certain aberrations in every department, in every field, in every company. So do not go by those aberrations. See the totality. And therefore, I urge the media also to play a positive role in this, because they only highlight the negative aspects. They only highlight one-sided picture. You know, somebody dying in a raid, somebody having a heart attack in a raid. Some particular tax person using coercive means to collect. That's an aberration. By and large, it's a department which is a very, very law-abiding department. They know exactly what the issues are. They know, they also pay the taxes themselves. Absolutely. They and the family members, they all pay taxes. And they do it to the best of their ability. And so this is the aim of the book. This is what he does. This is who he is. He's just like you and me. Do not fear him. Do not place him on a pedestal. Do not decry him. Do not call him things which he is not.
Mm.
Appreciate the kind of work he does. Why he does it. What's the role of the work that he does? What's the ultimate end result of the monies that are collected by the tax department, and see it objectively, see it from that particular standpoint.
Okay, so now I have a last question, which is more that, you know, if supposing I just have 20 minutes, which are the sections you would definitely want me to read from this particular book?
I'd urge you to read from page 1 till the last page.
I've got 20 minutes only.
It's a very light, easy, racy reading, irreverent at times, tongue-in-cheek, like I said, to make it more palatable, to counter act the serious subtext that underlies the work that he does. You'll find it a very interesting weekend reading.
Yeah, it's an easy to read.
And if after the book can understand the taxman better, understand what he does, I would have achieved my objective.
Sure, because I do think I've read parts of it, and I do think I'm understanding a lot more. But thanks, Ajay. This was really enriching. Really enjoyed the session. And I'm going to make sure that I read every page. I do think it's not going to take me too long to read it.
No, no, so just a weekend. Just a weekend.
Okay.
And, thank you so much for having me here. And I hope that people find it interesting and productive and educative. And look forward to such discussions in the future as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, it was great to know your experience, sir. Really a great experience. And it's a pleasure to have you here for the SGR Knowledge Foundation series session. I would like to thank Mr. Ajay Mankodia, sir, and Reema Gupta, ma'am, for their insightful discussion and giving their precious time for this SGR Knowledge Foundation 64th Knowledge Series session. I also thank Chairman of Raisoni Group of Institutions, Mr. Sunil Raisoni, for giving this opportunity, and Redomania Publication for the support to this session. Also, a big thanks to all our viewers for attending this session. The session will be there on the Orange City Literature Festival Nagpur YouTube channel and SGR Knowledge Foundation Facebook page. Till then, stay tuned. We'll be coming up with more sessions with various insightful topics in the next coming SGR Knowledge Foundation series. For more event updates, please subscribe to our SGRKF Facebook page and OCNF YouTube channel. Once again, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.